How is everybody? Good, 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 good. Okay. Last time I asked you to stand, and then I said, psych. Does anybody remember that word from the 90s? I'm not going to do it again. But anyway, we can just open the scriptures together. Great to be with you. Great to be here. In this country, thank you, church, for being here. Thank you, America, for being here. I remember that song, too, the Lee Greenwood song. And my wife got, you know, she's not originally from the United States. She's from France. And she got naturalized. And she's a citizen now. And I, when she became a citizen, I would say, you have to stand. And I gladly stand up, dun, 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 next to you, defend her still. So when they said that part of the song, remember what happened? We just would all stand up, right? But she said, nope. I was like, you have to. You're a citizen now. So reluctantly, she stood up. But I think if we sang it today, she would, like lightning, she would stand up right away. If we can turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 34 and 35. And this is the story of the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And he had a dream that just bothered him. And of course, God gave Daniel the interpretation of that dream. And that interpretation was really the prophecy for world kingdoms for the next thousands of years to come. And it's amazing. What I wanted to talk about tonight in the short time that we have is continuing with the theme of God being immovable in our lives. And that was a great theme because I think many of you have gone through something in your life, and I've gone through things in my life where I feel very movable. Have you felt like that before? And God reminds us that we are resting on an immovable God. And this portion of scripture, verse 34 and 35, talk about that. So in chapter 2, verse 34, Daniel describes it and tells the meaning. And you saw till that a stone was cut out without hands. That's God. Like no one made him. He's not like the idols of the East, that there's a God that was fashioned with human hands. And we could say, like, there's not idolatry today in the West, but there is. It's something that we make with our own hands, something that we make that becomes more important to us than the Almighty God, the unseen God. And then they made an actual idol out of their hands. But even today we're doing it. They can be ideological idols. But he says there's a God that was not made with hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. And if you remember, there was a big image. The head was gold. The chest was made out of silver. The belly and the torso was brass. And then the legs were made out of iron, and then the feet of iron and clay, a mixture. And it was a picture of the Babylonian Empire, then the Medes and the Persians, then the Greeks, and then the Romans. And then at the end of time, there'll be something like the Roman Empire, but it will not be as strong as the Roman Empire. It'll be a bit weaker. And then there's going to be this amazing stone that's not cut with hands that comes and it falls on the feet of that empire. And what happens to it? It says that then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, and the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like dust. Amen? Have you ever amened in the wrong place? Like, we had a lady in our church in Malawi. She was learning English, and she would always amen the wrong place. And he's going to send people to hell. Amen. And we all looked at her, and It's a condition. sorry, I got distracted as I was reading them. I distracted myself. The wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image, another great word, smote the image, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the kingdom of God. That's Christ. That's his kingdom. He is a rock. He's a rock that destroys the kingdoms of this world, the world system, and grows into an incredible mountain. And this is whom we've trusted. The Apostle Paul said this about Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know in whom I have believed. That's so important because we're not just believing a system. We're believing a person. We're believing God himself. His mind is the scripture. This is the mind of Christ here. We've not believed just a system of faith. We've believed Jesus Christ himself. And he says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep all those things that I've committed to him. And so, if we've committed our life to Christ, and we have, God will keep what we've committed to him. He'll keep us. He's this rock. And throughout the scriptures, and it says this in Psalm 118 and verse 22, it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It's the same stone that's talked about in Daniel. It's talked about in Psalm 118. And it's Christ who we've trusted, whom we've relied on, who we've rested our lives on. And that's who's immovable. We are movable, very movable, like those little hinges in IKEA cabinets, you know, that slide open very easily. And there's no, you know, it seems like there's no friction. There's frictionless. That's how movable our lives are. But Christ is immovable. And as we fellowship with him, maybe we get moved in our lives, but we're thankful that he's immovable. And I wanted to tell a story because when we first moved to the country of Malawi, and it was a new mission field for us, and, you know, God did a lot of great things in there was an open door for us when we moved there. But then there were some adversaries, right? That's what it says. There's a great and effectual door that's open to me, Paul says, but there's many adversaries. Many things that get in the way that kind of shake our lives. And I had two pictures. I wonder if we can put them up, see if they're in. Okay. So what are you looking at right here? You're looking at furniture. All right. This was our house in Zambia, and we moved from the country of Zambia to the country of Malawi. And sometimes we forget, like, the crazy things that God does in our lives. And I think Pastor Dion was there in Zambia, so he remembers. He visited us. And this was our house. We shared it with Pastor Ronaldo in our house. And so that bus that you see there kind of in the background was the bus that we used to take back and forth between Zambia and Malawi. It's like a 13-hour bus ride back and forth. And we would do it a few times a year before we planted the church there. And I decided to go to the owner of that bus. He had maybe three or four buses, and I just wanted to tell him what we were doing. We have a church here in Zambia. We're planting a church in the neighboring country of Malawi. You have a bus, and you can't see it, but it says Zambia-Malawi bus. It's one of the few ones that went back and forth. And I told him we want to move there, and do you have any advice for us, like how we should move our stuff from Zambia to Malawi? And he said, let me come over your house and see what you have. And I said, okay, sure. I mean, are you telling me I should rent a truck or pay money to have a truck rented? He said, don't ask questions. Just let me come over your house. His name's Denny Tembo. Okay. I'm still in contact with him today. So he came over, he looked at our stuff, and he said, this is what we're going to do. The bus that takes all these, you know, 30 or 40 passengers to Malawi, it's going to come to your house first. It's going to back into your driveway, which you see right there, and we're going to put all your stuff under the bus. And then we're going to lock it up, and we're going to take it to the station, and we're going to pick everybody up, and we're going to tell them, sorry, you have to hold your stuff on your lap because there's stuff underneath the bus. And they got, and we said, really? Are you sure? He said, yep, this is what we're going to do. And so we did it, and that's the proof of it. They put all that stuff that you see, our refrigerators in there where it says Defy in there, and that went under the bus. And we went and picked up people, and of course they were mad. They had to hold all their things on their lap. And then that bus went to Malawi. It dropped all of them off at the bus station, and then it drove to our new house in Malawi and unloaded all of our stuff. And when I asked him, how much do we owe you? And I had money, I had $2,000 ready to give him. You know what he said? He said, this is my donation to help the work of God. You don't have to pay anything. And so, you know, what a great victory, right? That felt like a stone landed on the feet of, I don't know, the banking system or whatever, and just destroyed everything, so we didn't have to pay anything. And we were thankful. And then the next picture, that was our car. To get this car, and Pastor Ronaldo will tell you, to get a car in Zambia was so hard. Like for the first, I don't know how many years, like 5-7 years we lived there, we didn't have a car. We squeezed in little vans and rode around everywhere. And in Malawi, we're able to find this car. And to buy that car, I had to go from Malawi. This was right before the bus came, you know, right? We did all this. I had to go from Malawi into Zambia. I had to pull out money from the ATM, you know, and you had to do it so many times because the maximum you can take out is like $100 or $200. And it was, and I had to do that. This was like $4,000 for that car at the time. And I took all that. I had American money in my bank here, transferred it to Zambian money in cash, and then brought that Zambian money across the border to Malawi, and I changed it, and then had like a suitcase. I felt like I was in the mafia. Suitcase of money, and brought it and paid for this car. And like, that's what it felt like. Signed our agreement and everything and handed it over. Why am I telling you this whole story? Because this was amazing. And for us, it's like Abraham, you know, maybe not exactly the same, but God told Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham did a lot. You know, he thought, well, it's obviously not from Sarah. She's too old. So let's figure it out ourselves. And of course, that didn't work out. God says, no, you're going to have a son with Sarah. And he laughs. And Sarah laughs. And God says, why are you laughing? It's going to happen. That's what it felt like. You know, you're going to move to this other country. We're going to put your stuff in a bus. All right. Under the bus. And we're laughing. God, it's not possible. But God says, watch, it's going to happen. And I'm going to provide for you. And all this happens. And then in Genesis 22, God says, now give me your son. And you're saying, wow, what? You just gave me the son. What do you mean, give me your son? And God is saying, like, you know, that son can be like that image, can be like a kingdom. And God says, I have to smash it. I have to smash that your son could be an idol to you. But my kingdom is the only thing that can stand. My relationship with you is the only thing that can stand. And it wants to fill you like that stone grew and filled and became a mountain. And so what happened with that RAV4 that you see in front of you right now, circa 1998, when we went to register that car, the police said to us, you have a stolen vehicle. And we said, what? What do you mean? He said, yeah, look, like either it's stolen or they tried to switch the engine so that they didn't pay taxes on it. So we're going to have to impound your car. And this was like overwhelming for us. We were maybe a month or two in the country. We're ready to come home. I called Pastor Shibeli. I said, Pastor Shibeli, I think we're coming home. Like, this is too much for us. We don't have anything else left. It's all we had. And he said, just trust God. When you're overwhelmed, look to the rock that's higher than you. And that's Psalm chapter 62. So that psalm, you can turn there while we have the RAV4 still on the screen. We can just keep it there the whole time. It'll be encouraging. That car lasted until we moved back here just a year ago, if you can believe that. So Psalm 62. And just let's read this and think about this. And I'll tell you that it has a good ending. And that's what happens to all of us as believers. We will always have a good ending. Truly my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. We really felt greatly moved. We felt like we were being moved. And even the psalmist could say, I'm resting on God. I'm moved a little bit, but maybe not greatly moved. And God says, keep reading and you'll get more encouraged. And then we'll skip down, verse 5. My soul, wait you only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense, and I shall not be moved. As he went on, at first he says, I won't be greatly moved. And then now by verse 6, he says, I won't be moved. And you know, that's why we come to the church. Because God speaks to us. And we say, you're right, God. That's nothing, you know. What's a vehicle, right? They come and they go. I'm not going to be moved. At first I say, I'm not great. I'm moved. Maybe it's not horrible, but now as I hear the scripture more and as I'm encouraged, I say, I'm not going to be moved. That doesn't touch me. And what happened in the story was I pleaded with the head of the MVA and I said, please, that's what we would always say. We're poor missionaries. We're self-supporting. We come here. We're serving. We have a free Bible college. You want to be a student? And I always invite everybody would love to come to the Bible college. But he said, all right, I said, can we do this? Can I give you my passport so you know I'm not going to run away and let me keep the car and we'll try to figure this out and find out and find paperwork and see if we can straighten it out because I don't think it's stolen. The person sold it to me. It was a company. And he said, okay, we'll keep your passport. For 3 months, he kept my passport in his drawer. And I just said, I'm stuck in Malawi. I'm not going anywhere. And we went around. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever waited in line in the MVA here. Well, you do that for a couple hours and you complain, but that side, it's a couple hours turned to days. They're like, we're closing. Come back tomorrow. Come back. I thought I'm in the building. You know, just shut the door and take care of everybody. No. You leave. Come back tomorrow. And then you come back tomorrow. They say, sorry. Come back the next day. And you're like, wow, okay. And what ended up happening is I brought my two, at that time they were young, I think 3 and 5, Kalia and Poema, my two daughters. I heard that the head of the whole MVA was a lady, and I made an appointment with her. And I told my daughters, draw her a picture, like of that car, color it, and say, please help our daddy to get the car back. I know, it's tasteless and like, no shame, right? We were desperate. So we went in there, we sat down with, she was the sweetest woman, a believer. I told her our whole story. We used to live in Zambia. We moved our whole family to Malawi. We're living in Malawi. These are my daughters. And they gave you a picture, and then I said, call her auntie. Every time you see her, call auntie, this is for you, auntie. And she was just like, what are you trying to do here? nothing. And she said, all right, I want to help you. You're just going to pay the smallest amount of duty or taxes on the vehicle, and you'll get the car back. And I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. You are faithful. I'm so movable. But you're immovable. And you really, I mean, that's a small situation. And we look back at it and say, wow, that's really what shook us. But God's just was faithful. And you know, maybe that was we have different types of times in our lives that are like an Abraham moment where God says, just set it at my feet, like Pastor Barry said. We just take our gift and we just put it at the feet of God. And he says, just trust me. I'm immovable. I'm this rock that will turn into a mountain. Let me do it in your life. Let me be that rock in your life and just trust me. And, you know, we can do that. Like, world governments have fallen. Can you imagine Daniel made it through like two different world governments? He's there and the world ruler of the Babylonians falls, and then he's there again with the Medes and the Persians. And it's just a picture of how Christ is truly that mountain. You say, how did a man suffering on a cross, how is he really the one that's the creator of this whole world? And it's because of his humility. It's because he starts out like a rock. And when you see him on the cross, he's just like a rock. But when you see him risen from the grave, you see that he's a mountain. You see that he fills all in all. And I can say in my little life, God, I can trust you. I can trust you. You did it for Daniel. You did it for the RAV4. If I ever doubt, I'm just going to remember the RAV4. If you ever doubt, you can remember that RAV4 with the awesome design on the side, right? You can't put a price tag on that design right there. And God will be faithful. Whatever little thing it is, maybe it's a family situation. You know, someone in your family that you say, I've been praying for them for years, but there's no answer. And God says, trust me, I'm immovable. I'm this rock that turns into a mountain. I will bring deliverance. And God will do that for us. He does it for us in any situation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, that you are so personal. Even little things in our life that maybe the world would say, that's not a big deal. But to you, it's a big deal. To you, Lord, you're so personal. You're so faithful. Maybe there's somebody here that's never received Christ as their personal Savior. He loves you. He wants to be a friend that's closer than a brother. He's not just God, but he wants to be personal to you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to fill everything in your life, like that story of the stone that filled the whole earth. Just cry out to him. Just say to him, Lord Jesus, come in my life. Save me. And if you prayed that for the first time, nobody's looking, just put your hand up and put it down if you've never received Christ before. Anybody on the internet, just send us an email and tell us that you received Christ. And Lord, bless the rest of our night and our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, okay. Well, what a good word that was, wasn't it? You just for a minute, would you sit down, turn to, put up on the screen that verse again. Just a closing comment, Daniel 2:35. Wow, that was not entertaining, but it was so good, wasn't it? It was so good. Wow, thank you, Pastor. Very good. Wow. Okay, so... Now, notice something here in the verse. The quality of the metals decreases from the top. So it's gold at the top, then silver, brass, iron, and at the very bottom is iron and clay. And they don't mix. So that's the weakest part of the image. The weakest part, you know, the iron and the clay at the feet. And in a way, the civilization of the world has a fundamental weakness. And it is the quality of life in our hearts, the deficiency in life, you know, how weak we are, actually, how weak we are as people. And so it says they were broken, became chaff, the wind carried them away. No place was found for them. So this is shocking, that all the satellites in outer space, all the buildings, all the water systems, the medicine, the highways, the transportation, all the legal systems, everything, to think that it is all gone. It's all gone, imagine. So they're carried away, no place to stop them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. So we don't know what life will be like in the millennium, but will there be civilization? Yes. What will it be like when Christ returns? Because wonderful, amen. The body of Christ doesn't have that fundamental weakness. Yes. You know, that iron and clay at the feet. That new man, the new kingdom, doesn't have that. We cannot be destroyed. His kingdom is forever, lasts forever and ever. And we are in that kingdom today. We have been baptized into the body of Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. You know, isn't that good?
Yes.
And I think Pastor Chris was saying, well, he was saying beautifully, I mean, it was a beautiful, that the movable things are part of my training. I get trained by my movable things, by disappointments and heartbroken things and broken relationship, losing a car, people not understanding you, being ripped off, something is stolen, getting sick, any number of things that move us. And yet the message tonight is that we are part of a kingdom that cannot be moved. And so in our mind and heart, we get adjusted to that. And we are hearing from God, and God establishing us in that kingdom that cannot be moved. For that stone was cut out not by human hands. That means God sent Christ. And then that stone became a mountain. I liked what you said. Jesus on the earth in the Gospels is like the stone. But after the resurrection and ascension, he's at the right hand of the Father, and it's more, now we see him as a mountain. And he's at the right hand of the Father, and how does it say, Matthew 28, how does it go at the end, Matthew 28, go ye into all the world, how does it go? And my kingdom, I'm sorry. The part I want is about, and all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He has inherited all things. So that's how we're leaving the room tonight. Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. So Pastor Barry and whoever he has with him will be on the patio tonight for talk. And rap, what a beautiful night, and happy birthday, America. Amen. And our prayers are with you, and our hearts, and our work in the gospel. And may God help us reach people with this amazing message of Christ and his grace.
Happy anniversary, Pastor.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yeah, today's our anniversary, my wife and I. July 3rd, Lenox, Massachusetts. Under the tall evergreen trees on a lawn, married 48 years ago. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the night and our friends, or the love, the faith, and this great message we heard tonight. We thank you so much and bless our people traveling back to India and Africa and going places, and Thank you for our great week here at convention. You gave us exceedingly above. And continue. And the RAV4 story. And that design, money can't pay for that paint job on that car. And I just thank you for that, this family, Lord, of Pastor Chris Harmon and this great church of that you've blessed us to be a part of your body. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.